Look, man, I can't control what women do when I walk into a coffee shop. That's just what happens.
Hey, just don't take your big dildo stick out with you, okay?
And welcome to the Pocket Gamer Podcast. It's episode number 440. My name is James Gilmore. Joining me today is Rick Cowley.
Hello.
And Emily Soden.
Thank you once again for having me.
It's all right. The ticket you've got is a season ticket, so you can just turn up whenever you like.
This is true. I've paid my way. I don't need to thank you. I'm just being nice.
Unnecessarily gracious. Though that's because, to put in balance, you were just swearing at your phone a minute ago, because for some reason, you're still playing the Harry Potter game.
Yeah, not a nice relationship, though, I tell you.
No, we'll learn more about that in a little bit, because obviously the Potter Hogwarts Mystery game came out this week, and people are not as happy as they could be, broadly speaking. And that goes for both the public and us, even though M continues to hate play it and complain about it, and then carry on playing anyway for some reason.
Don't judge me, James.
Of course I'm going to judge you! So the moment I finished a video review, that app went straight into my waste paper basket, virtually speaking, and I was glad to be rid of it.
Okay. Sometimes the things you hate are actually the things you love.
That doesn't make any sense, Rick. Those are opposite things. I cannot stand by and let you push
this. I tried.
Nonsense.
That's the important thing.
Tried and failed. Oh well, never mind. We've got other games, though, to discuss this week. We've got things like Clan Wars, which has turned up in Clash Royale, changing the way that you play the game with your clans. And I'm going to try and explain it, even though I haven't actually played that mode myself. Red Alert coming back to mobile, currently in China. We'll find out what that looks like. And Night Trap is heading over to Nintendo Switch, one of the most controversial games in history. Plus, reviews of the aforementioned Hogwarts Mystery. We've got the likes of Sudorica Sunset, typing weird words and letters with Super Type and watching them bang around the screen, Lightsinger Heroes, Major Mayhem 2, and more. But first, it's the news. Clash Royale fans have been waiting a long time, as it turns out, for Clan Wars, a thing that's been promised for a bit. It's now gone live on iOS and Android. Apparently that means goodbye to the clan chest, and it's time to team up with your 10 strong clan members, who are all King level 8 or higher. That means a thing. And then start fighting particular battles in a particular way in order to own loads of lovely trophies and stuff. So we've just discussed this. I think that maybe I've played the most out of you guys.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. It's one of those things, like, I'm jealous of people that can play it really well, but I'm too lazy to learn.
Okay.
Yep, same.
We did have some people who were super keen into the whole Clash thing, but I know it's not for everybody. I did play it a lot when it first came out, though I'm not still playing it at the moment. One of my best mates is still hammering away at it, like, full time almost. It's quite insane, the level of dedication that it's been able to generate within people. But what's this all about? So it's kind of a two-day event when you sign up for one, right? So day one, this is taken from your article, Em, is described as collection day. And what you do is you get three battles, during which time you need to collect as many clan cards as you can. Different game modes on the map change as they're played. And you can't just play any game you want and expect to win stuff. Only by fighting in those particular modes do you get the cards that you want. So winning gets you the most, but even if you lose, you still get some cards. Once you've done those three, you then move on to day two, which is War Day. You just get the one battle, and you need to win it. And if you don't win it, then boned, basically. That's what it is. Everyone in the clan that you're in, your 10-strong clan, has to use the same cards. So the idea is to make sure you've got a good deck, and then it's all shared with your team, and everyone's familiar with it and knows what they're doing. And then once the day ends, if you've won, you get clan trophies and whatnot. And if you don't win, you probably get fewer. And then you can go on to the next war and run it that way. So it's basically just a big social way of trying to get you and your 10 mates together and work as a team. I remember games used to do this, even things like Infinity Blade. I don't know if you saw those like massive events where you'd get together with everybody and everyone would fight the same creature, the same boss.
Okay.
They weren't all on the same screen or anything, but the idea was, right, if you log in during this like 5-hour period and fight this guy, the idea is you and all the people on your friend list, like, you pick a side or something, gradually all of your victories and losses will be added up and totted up, and at the end you can see if you won as a clan or as a team. So this is a much more direct way of doing that kind of multiplayer action. But I understand, because I'm not playing it myself at the moment, people are very excited about this. So, good.
Yeah, no.
I'm glad that people will be happy.
Yeah, so long as people are happy, all that we can hope for. That's all that matters.
There's enough stuff for people to get really angry about on the internet. So if this makes people happy, then I'm happy for them, though I will not pretend to be any kind of expert of it. However, Red Alert. Now, I am old enough to remember the original OG release of Red Alert, which was the sequel to Command & Conquer, which was one of the big popular RTS games that appeared on PCs back in the day, back when Intel were busting out their 486 chip. Ah, 486.
such a big
number there. Good times. And apparently it is coming back to mobile. At the minute, it's only been announced in China. And you can go online and see on PG the announcement trailer, which unfortunately doesn't show much in the way of gameplay. It just shows a lot of spinning stuff, probably things to do with Tesla and Tesla coils, because it's Command & Conquer. And you see a lot of red glowy stuff. You see some big tanks rolling in, and you see a lot of very familiar-looking base building stuff going on. I believe it's an online version of the game, so it is allowing you to do these battles online. My question is how much it's going to reflect the original game. Because did you guys ever play either Red Alert or Command & Conquer or any of those?
Briefly? No.
Wasn't really my scene.
Wasn't your scene. I didn't think it would be your bag. But Rick, when you played it, were you playing it on PC or did you play... Because I know there have been some browser versions. There were some mobile versions way back in the day.
I think... When I was a child, I played the very first Command & Conquer on PC
with my cousins
sometimes. So yeah, it's that like hardcore RTS style thing, isn't it? You have a little base and you build it up.
That's the one.
Is that the thing? Yeah.
I don't know how hardcore it's considered now, but yeah, it is. It kind of popularized it for me. It was the first one that I played, and I was like, ooh, because is this what a real-time strategy game is? But yeah, the first Command & Conquer was Nod versus GDI, and then Red Alert 2, it's the Soviets versus the US, and is noteworthy for Kane being the big, bold, bad guy. It's particularly noteworthy in pop culture history for Tim Curry in Red Alert 2 or whatever it is, when the cutscenes, because there are little cutscenes where they use real actors giving you your mission, and he's like the head of Russia or whatever, and it's Tim Curry, the guy who played the original Pennywise the Clown, and I urge all of you to go and find the YouTube clip of him saying that he's going to go to Smiles! It's so good, because he clearly corpses just before he's about to do it. It's like he can't stifle the laugh, and they leave it in the game, and it's beautiful.
Oh, I loved him, Curry.
Yeah, he's the bomb. So,
the worrying thing is that's the best take they got of that particular shot.
Probably. They're just like, screw it, we can't afford him for longer than 2 hours one afternoon, so that's it. We got it in the can, let's go. But it was good, and it was, and the games themselves genuinely were like good and fun, and had this sort of element of sci-fi and alternative history and all of that business. And they were great as multiplayer games, of course, just in the same vein as StarCraft does with all the alien sci-fi business. So these games should work, because we've had mobile RTSs come out, and I'm thinking particularly of things like Iron Marines, which was the spin-off from the Kingdom Rush series, which did a more RTS thing very, very well, provided you scale up the characters a bit and you know, make the UI a little bit clearer and a little bit more streamlined. These games work brilliantly on touchscreens, because it's just pointing your finger and go, you, go there, and, you know, that stuff's just perfect.
I have a very big concern about Red Alert, actually.
Go on, then.
From looking at the website, obviously it's all in Chinese, so I've no idea what it's saying. But one of the screenshots looked annoyingly similar to games like Oceans and Empires and Pirates of the Caribbean, the one from Joy City. where you it had like this big open world map and everybody's little bases here and there, and then arrows pointing around to show you where people are going. So it's like a 4X strategy game, I think they are.
Right.
And it made me worry that that's actually what the strategy element is going to be. Because it'll have the online battles, but all you're actually doing is selecting a number of troops and then sending them to a location and watching that happen in real time. So my concern is that it's not going to be an RTS game and you're not actually going to get to control any of the battles.
Yeah.
But there's no way to know yet, but that's my one thing that I think it might end up being, which will be a shame.
Well, yes, I can see a lot of what look more like hexes that people are moving around, and that could be problematic. And the other thing is, I know it's an old game, but there is that chance that they're going to be emulating things like Clash of Clans, and it's going to be more about that passive base building, and then battles, as you say, just happen. Rather than you strategically, you know, pulling people in certain directions and whatnot, which was really what the core of the game is. And there's also that issue that real-time strategy multiplayer does demand real-time.
Yes.
And traditionally speaking, mobile are very good at doing asymmetrical and asynchronous multiplayer. So you make a move and then come back to it later. And that, you know, that those two things don't necessarily mesh very well. So your concerns are not unfounded, I think. Mm. But I hope that they're wrong.
I do too.
So I'd rather this was proper RTS goodness, because it could be a lovely, lovely thing. We will have to wait and see. But go and have a look at the trailer that's currently up on PG. And actually, our sister site, Pocket Gamer Biz, has a story up about it as well, which links to the main site, so you can see it for yourself. Now, moving on to the Switch, before we go to the new releases, Night Trap. Again, it feels like I'm pulling everything from the past at the minute with Red Alert. This goes back even further than Red Alert, okay? So cast your minds back to 1992.
No.
And you have bought a Mega Drive and you think, how can I make this Mega Drive better? What's this new release upgrade? You've seen the SNES, the Super Nintendo, the SNES, if you're in the States and are wrong. And they've got their talk about their cartridge add-on thing with a clever chip in it that makes things better. And you're going, oh, it's Nintendo. Come on, Sega, what have you got? How can you possibly bolt something onto the Mega Drive to make it better? And Sega go, ah, well, let me introduce you to the Mega CD. And you go, ooh, CDs, that's going to be the future, that is. And you'd be right. It would be the future. But not quite yet, because the Mega CD was garbage. It was basically a separate bolt-on thing that you could, you know, use with your Mega Drive. You put CDs into it, and it had not a great deal of games because the system was basically a total flop. I remember a Dracula game that was particularly bad, side-scrolly thing. The major thing that it brought to gaming was the ability to do, like, FMV-style video. That was the thing that they were able to include that they couldn't include on a cartridge. So everyone went FMV mad and started like filming bits and pieces so they could have clever little cutscenes in their games. Night Trap took it to the next level, where the game is basically completely an FMV game. It's just stuff they filmed, and it is a live-action version, basically of something like Dragon's Lair, where you're just kind of watching the game play out, and then at certain moments you press a button at the right time to continue the cutscene, basically. And that's it. That's the whole gameplay of it.
Sold. I'll buy 100.
No, it's kind of rubbish. But it became, like, historically incredibly noteworthy as a game because it came out in 1992. The premise of the game is that a bunch of girls have had some kind of slumber party thing and then they've all been horribly murdered. But they set up a bunch of cameras and stuff because you're part of some military force, like the SAS or anything, but the acronym for it is SCAT.
Okay.
That's what we're dealing with here, boys and girls. So, hang on, the Sega Control Attack Team.
Ooh.
So, SCAT. And Lieutenant Sims of the Sega Control Attack Team is the one giving you the debrief at the beginning of the game. And the idea is that five more girls are going into this house for some reason, but now there are cameras everywhere, and you're trying to ostensibly keep these girls alive because a bunch of sort of vampires are invading the house, and you've got to try and keep them safe. So you do that by switching between the different cameras in the different rooms, and then alerting them when someone comes in and attacks, or trying to stop the attacks. But basically, you just click a button at the right time. Now, this is very much riffing on, like, really bad B-movies, B-horror movies. So all the acting's terrible, and it's shot in a way that is sort of deliberately bad. and girls going, ah, at the camera, and, you know, it knows what it's doing, I think. It was brought up in that kind of the equivalent of the video nasties thing. So the video nasties happened in the 80s with horror movies and things like Evil Dead and Driller Killer and that sort of stuff, where they decided there was this big moral outrage over violence in movies. You'll have heard about the video nasties. Gaming had one as well in the early 90s, and there was a big hearing about it, and they played games like Mortal Kombat, and they were showing these to these, you know, kind of like 70-year-old judges going, look, he ripped his spine out. Kids are going to go around ripping people's spines out now. This is terrible, it must be stopped. And one of the games they played was Night Trap, because there is a particular scene where a girl's wandering around in a nightie in a bathroom, and then a bunch of dudes in like fully black SAS style gear run in, grab her, stick this big oddly phallic thing around her neck and start sucking blood out of her.
What? Hang on.
Have you not seen it?
No, so they just basically suffocate it with a really long dildo.
Yes, kind of. Okay, then, and so that we can do this right, I don't know if this will play, I'm going to link you guys right now to this video.
Oh, dear God.
Where are we? There we go. Hang on.
This is not how I saw my afternoon going, I have to say.
I mean, when all this sort of stuff came out, I think I was just a babby.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
So you guys start watching it simultaneously.
I like that kind of sneaky, tiptoey guy who you'd never see him standing in that shower.
Exactly. So they're now watching the video. So to the people listening, what they're going to see is that there's a dude in SAS gear who tiptoes into a shower and closes the cubicle.
Yeah. Also, can I just point out,
yes,
she's looking in a mirror.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How the hell does she not see him?
I know. The camera is in the mirror, but then she then turns around later, you'll find out when there's sound, and she thinks it's one of her friends, her girl slumber party friends, playing a jape on her.
Gotcha.
Until all the rest of the dudes bust in and things go horribly awry. And watching it again, as you are doing now and I did earlier, it doesn't come off very well. Although Rick apparently finds it hilarious. So what's happening is the guy's kind of got her by the neck, and then two other guys come in from the other side of the room, and he's got this really big, it looks like a metal detector or one of those litter grabber things, with kind of a neck clamp on it, but it does look well phallic, and he uses it to grab her neck, and then he's like sucking blood out of her neck.
Yeah. That was...
And she's screaming the whole time, and it goes on, it's just this one static camera shot, and it's a mixture between like being really awkward and campy and B-movie, but it goes on just to that point where it's like, this is actually a bit odd.
Yeah.
And uncomfortable.
Jesus Christ.
So, you gonna get it?
Well, I tell you what, I don't want one of those things around my neck, that's for sure. Otherwise, I'm just gonna have to call someone. Therapist, maybe?
Yeah. So they use this as an example of, like, violence against women. Also, the advertising for it and the box art was kind of like, you know, girl in a bra kind of going, ah! But again, the argument is that it's very much paying tribute to these, you know, 80s B-movies, and it's kind of knowingly doing it, and it's supposed to be a daft, silly sort of violent game. But it is also a bit weird. And really, it doesn't have any sex scenes. It doesn't have any nudity or anything like that in the game, but it got this reputation for being, like, really awful. And you look back on it, it's not really awful. It's just a bit orc and rubbish.
I was about to say, some of the 12s today are worse than that.
Exactly. And you mentioned the certificates. This is one of the games, as Rick mentioned when we were talking about it earlier, that kind of introduced the idea or caused people to create the ESRB, which is the Entertainment Software Rating Board. So when you see a 12 or a 16 or an 18 ESRB rating, this is the game that prompted people to put that rating on there.
That makes me happy in so many ways.
Because of the big, giant, grabby neck dildo, you now are restricted from playing certain games at certain ages. So there you go. And if you want to see why, if you want to see how good slash bad it is, you will soon be able to do it on the go, in public, 25th anniversary edition. Everybody on the tube, on the bus, I want you to be watching that weird, orc bit of footage while people look over your shoulder and judge you.
Oh, man, it's going to be a fun day.
It's going to be a good day.
Yeah, you got to go to the most public place possibly. Just go sit in a coffee shop or something right in the middle table.
Yep, I want you all in Starbucks while the girlies scream. So, Night Trap, physical and digital release sometime this summer. out and about this week. The day has finally come. The owl's arrived. I kicked it in the face before I realised it wasn't just invading my home and was trying to give me a letter. I'm so sorry, Hedwig. I'm so sorry. If you want to know why it was crashing into walls and that in those Potter movies, that's why. It's Harry Potter,
the worst
mystery.
Joke. I'm sorry, that was the absolute worst joke.
Look, I'm building it on the fly. It wasn't even a joke.
So many because it wasn't Hedwig. God, get your facts right.
Oh, what, which one was it then? Which one's Hedwig?
Hedwig is Harry's owl, the white one.
So, yeah. Oh, who's the one? Is it Ron's owl that's crashing into stuff all the time?
Yeah, it's like the Weasley's one that's like really, really a bit off.
They're called Pygmalion or something.
Good choice of words.
I feel like that's a character in Harry Potter. Shouldn't we get back on track?
Don't get lost in Potter lore now, and we need you for this. So yeah, Harry Potter Hogwarts Mystery. It has finally come out after months of people speculating whether it was going to be any good. It's been a soft launch for a long time, and it's always tough to judge things, especially free-to-play games in soft launch, because, as we all know, they can be tweaked, the payment models can be adjusted to be something quite different once they go live. And this has been adjusted a little bit since the soft launch, and not for the better. So you've done the full review of this, Em. We've all played it, though. How would you summarise this game? Firstly, what's the closest comparison to another game?
First of all, it was Errol.
Ah. All right. Errol, okay.
Errol the Owl. Gotcha. Actually, I can't think of another game this plays like.
It's a lot like Kim Kardashian Hollywood. And those celebrity games like the Britney Spears and Katy Perry and that kind of thing. That's the thing it always struck me as being most like.
Me too. Because before, when it started out and they were having conversations and everything, I was going, oh, it's going to be like a Telltale game and stuff, and you get to make decisions, and it's great. And then the moment you got into a classroom, and it was just like, right, now just click on these glowing things again and again till it says stop clicking. I was like, oh, this is Katy Perry's singing game.
Yeah, I think this is pretty why I couldn't think of anything that was like, because I've never played any of those games.
Ah. You're missing out. They're so good.
I feel like I have found a part of myself today that I needed to exist, and you've made it exist.
You didn't really. We've covered it a little bit in previews and things, but it is a mixture of story and this lesson learny tappy stuff, isn't it?
Yeah, it's literally it's narrative and RPG, because you've got your narrative, which is the story, the RPG, because you need to level up your empathy and your knowledge and your bravery or courage, whatever.
Yeah.
To be able to take on different tasks and answer questions differently,
mm-hmm.
which will then affect the rest of your story. Not by much, but still. But the main glaring thing is that everyone's just like, oh yeah, no, this is going to be a really fun narrative adventure. We get to go to Hogwarts for 7 whole years. And then the free-to-play model cracks down and says, yeah, but you don't have enough energy, so sorry.
Yeah. Now, this was an interesting thing because you played this for review. I played it, but I was still using the kind of soft launch model when I was capturing video because, you know, I assumed they'd be roughly the same. I did manage to finally update it, even though it wouldn't let me initially and play the real one. And they've tweaked the free-to-play model in such a way that they've actually made it more aggressive in the full release version. So you cited a point in the game where you've created a character, you've done a couple of lessons, you've learnt to do a bit of a light spell, and you know it's all going well. And then you get lured into this cupboard and you get hit with the devil's snare, which is like the roots of a tree which is grabbing you by the neck, and you've got to escape. To escape, you need to tap on a thing and then use a bunch of energy, tap, 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 to charge up a spell. You need to cast the spell twice. Unfortunately, doing this maxes out your entire energy that you have available, and chances are you're not at full energy when you step into that cupboard. So you go to do the first spell and you cast it. You go to do the second spell and you can't. So you go, all right, then I have to wait for this to charge up again. The thing is, and this is the thing where it gets really weird, actually, they put time limits on each of the tasks.
Yeah.
That one specifically is an 8-hour time limit. So you have to sort of stop and wait for the game to charge. Now, with these kind of free-to-play games, generally speaking, you can, if you run out of energy, you just put the game down and then you come back to it sometime. It could be an hour later, it could be a day later, it doesn't matter, and then you pick it up and you carry on. This game, because it's like some of the tasks are like, right, you've got to do this within an hour, and you run out of energy and it's going to take 55 minutes for your energy to recharge. So you've got a 5-minute window during which you can pick up the app, activate the spell quickly, and then carry on. Or the hour will expire, you go back to the beginning of the task again, and have to re-spend all the energy that you spent the first time out. That's where it gets really like, what are you doing? This is just so harsh.
It's so evil. Let's throw the E word out there. It is straight up evil.
Yeah, well, especially given the audience they're going for. I know there's people like me that are absolutely delirious, but on average, everyone's just like, oh, Harry Potter, yeah. A lot of our generation would have brought their kids up on Harry Potter and stuff.
Mm.
And, you know, kids will pick up this game, get to the energy point, be like, oh, I need more energy. Either go and ask their mums for, like, money to do energy or to, you know, steal credit cards or whatever the kids do these days. Or they'll have to wait. And it's just a really weird thing to put in a game where it's going to be in the hands of so many children, if you know what I mean.
Yes, which is always a concern with the free-to-play model. Now, and we've all got issues with it to varying degrees, but I'm not a person who sits there and says all free-to-play is evil, full stop. It doesn't have to be like that, but mm-hmm. it is quite easy to manipulate it in a way that is very cynical.
Yeah.
And some games are much more than others. And with this time limit thing, that's the difference. It's very harsh with what it's asking for in terms of you need X amount of energy, which means like all of your energy, and mm-hmm. now you've run out and you still need more.
Yeah.
And then by going, and you only have another 30 minutes in which to gain this energy, and you look at it and go, well, I'm not going to be able to recharge in that time. So it's either you going and you yourself spending money, or if you're a kid going, Mum, Dad, I need the money to do this, and I have to do it within the next 20 minutes, or it's going to reset and I'm going to lose even more. And maybe you bought energy in the first place to be able to start it, and now if you don't pay more within the next 30 minutes, you're going to lose all of it.
Yeah.
So it's suddenly putting this added emphasis on, like, you know, no, we need it now. And then the other aspect, which is that this is ostensibly like a narrative game, so you're trying to find out a story, and it's like the episode of whatever it is you're watching. You've got an hour episode of something, and then it stops 10 minutes in and just freezes and goes, put more money in the slot, or you can't just carry on. You have to go back to the beginning of the episode and start again next time.
Yep.
And it just feels a bit grimy, you know?
It's unnecessarily pressuring people into spending money.
And then there's the points in the actual narrative itself where a character will say, oh, well, I need you to come do that. Give me a bit and I'll do this for you. It's like, okay, now I have to wait 3 hours to actually get to the story.
Yeah.
Which is the whole reason I'm there.
Twice yesterday. Like, I ranted about it on Slack to you guys.
Mm.
And I did it, I was talking to Rowan. I was like, okay, yeah, no, girl, you go and do your read and I'll come back in a second. And then she was like, oh, find me in 2.5 hours. I've got to do some stuff. I want to find you some spells. So I was like, okay, you do you. I'm going to do me and then I'll be back. And then I went to find her in the Great Hall and she's like, oh yeah, no, cool. Let's have lunch. And then we had lunch and she asked me some questions, made me spend out my entire energy bar, and then was just like, oh, that's really great. Okay, now I'll see you in another 2.5 hours. I still haven't finished reading.
Yep.
I was like, bitch.
Absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah. Now, there's stuff about this that I think is quite good. So I do really like the visuals and the design of the interior of Hogwarts, and I like the character creators, and I like the animation, I like what they've done with all the characters. I actually think the window dressing and all of this is good stuff, like top notch. And it gives you a real sense and feeling of, like, I am back in Hogwarts and these are the real characters. And the animation particularly I find really engaging, and they've got loads of charm. Which makes it all the more tragic when it's undercut by this quite cynical gameplay model, which is trying to squeeze a lot of money out of people who obviously care about the franchise. I still think it's going to make a ton of cash, but I think from what I can see, like, all the comments under our reviews are like, oh God, this is awful. All the comments under my videos are like, oh God, this is awful. And I've seen a lot of people who are, you know, quite vocal about how cynical this is. This is something they can fix.
Mm. Yes.
If they just go in and, like, right, A, we'll get rid of the time limits. I mean, just doing that alone, we'll scrub the time limits, will make the game infinitely better.
Yep.
It would still, you know, still takes time to do things, you still need to spend energy, and you can just, but if you're halfway through a task and you need to wait for it to recharge, you can just put it down and come back the next day and then finish it, and it's not going to penalize you and send you back to the beginning. Just that simple little thing would make the game more playable.
Yeah, if there's no end to something, then you can just put your phone down and come back like 2 hours later when your stuff is all recharged. It's no big deal.
Yeah.
But I don't like, I don't know, it just feels so wrong. I know that it will make a ton of money because it's a big franchise and stuff, but I mean, considering I played Friday 13th Killer Puzzle and Brewtown last week, both of which are free-to-play games,
mm-hmm.
and I really liked them.
Yeah.
they were all just cosmetic items or like things to help you get along. But they gave you the option of watching adverts and stuff to get stuff done quicker and everything replenished quicker.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, oh, so frustrating. But the hilarious thing is, I think I called this like back when we did our, oh, do we really need two Harry Potter games?
No, you did fear that it would be the cynical free-to-play thing, and it was like, well, you know, we have to wait and see. And the reason we're focusing on it in such a big way is because it is a huge release. This universe does remain super popular, what with Fantastic Beasts and all that stuff kicking around, and so it's going to be downloaded by millions and millions and millions and millions of people. And it just seems a shame, because for me, this is the kind of stuff that gives free-to-play a really bad name.
Yeah, a lot of the comments you see like around different reviews and articles and on your videos and stuff has been like, yeah, well, this is why all mobile games suck or something.
Yeah.
It's like, no, it's not. It's a very small minority.
Well, I mean, there are a bunch of them, but it is a thing that, yeah, gives free-to-play a bad name, and yes, by extension, gives mobile games a bad rep. Because people just say, oh, it's all this cynical free-to-play nonsense. It's like, no, there's loads of really cool stuff on here. And even the free-to-play model can be used okay, but it's this that makes it look really cynical and really bad. So, yeah, I think it's a crying shame. I would like to think that they would tweak and adjust it, but then if it makes them a ton of money, they're not going to touch it. So there's no reason for them to make it more generous or more fair, inverted commas. So, shrug. But it's free to download. I suggest you go and check out the reviews we've got, because they're fairly comprehensive, and show you where you get stuck. Other games that are also out this week. Let's do Supertype, because this is kind of the other end of the spectrum from a very, very big budget, free-to-play, never-ending thing. Something very small, very contained, and very high concept. I think we've all had a little go on this. Rick, how would you describe Supertype?
It's kind of almost a reverse word game, I would say. Because you're kind of spawning in letters to collect dots that are sort of hanging on platforms and stuff, but you need to use the right letter for the right situation. So if you need something to roll, you type an O and it'll roll down into the thing where you need it. Or if you need to fit into a small gap, you can drop the I. And then it's got little tweaks on that, like the I can split into two because the dot above it can drop down into smaller places and stuff like that.
Yes.
So yeah, it's just a very neat puzzle game, and it does something really interesting with letters rather than just sort of being a word game. Harry reviewed it, and he said it was something like, it's not really a word game, it's more of a letter game.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
That's entirely true.
To confirm, when you say spawn in, the idea is you end up, for most of the levels anyway, there's like a dotted line at the top of the screen, and then there are some lines below, like platforms that exist, and a few dots you need to collect. And then you just pull up a keyboard, and you type a word, type letters, whatever you want, and then press enter. And when you press enter, gravity takes hold. And these letters just fall out of the sky, and then they start bouncing and ricocheting off whatever platforms or shapes are below. So then it becomes like almost like a pachinko thing.
Mm.
But it's unusual. I've not seen anything quite like it before. And as you say, the little touches of some letters splitting off into two bits, and sometimes they need certain letters. There's only one letter that will do it, and sometimes it's a bit more vague, and you can just type loads of random stuff and see what happens.
It also has the greatest tutorial ever, I would say.
Oh, yeah.
Because when you load it up, it comes up and it says Supertype because it's a title screen. And you're like, okay, I don't really know what to do. So you tap the screen and the keyboard comes up and you kind of go, oh, maybe I've got to type in Supertype. So you do that and then you just get all the dots. And it's like, oh, this is the game. This is exactly what I need to do. I get it now. And it's just that instant done. That's the tutorial. You know exactly what's expected of you. You know what's going to come up next. And then when it starts throwing twists at you, you can start working with that. I think it's an incredibly clean and well-presented game, and I have really loved it for that one small detail.
Mm.
I know it's a tiny thing, but it just elevated the whole thing, like, straight away.
Because I played it last night before bed. I didn't really think about the title screen that much, but actually, thinking about it again now, that's actually such a wonderfully efficient way to do the tutorial. I didn't even see it as a tutorial. I just thought, entrance, opening,
Yeah, I like the way you'd scream at all your games. iPhone, App Store, Turn it on,
I just have it in a monologue that I have to get out, you know? Otherwise I just pop.
Fair enough. Well, I've just done the video review to accompany Harry's review. I think it's really good. I had a great time playing it. It's a premium game. I think it's only about 99 cents or something like that. But just clean, simple, indie thing. Good idea, well executed. Big love. So Supertype is the name of that one. We've got a few other things kicking around as well. A couple of match puzzlers, but very different ones. So Sudorica Sunset this one. I don't know if this was released very early in the week or the end of last week.
End of last week it was, I think.
End of last week, okay. So this is a sort of side-on, like, what looks like a classic JRPG-style battler, where you've got three characters on one side of the screen, and then you're beating up enemies on the other side of the screen. But you perform your attacks by matching up these color gem sort of things. They're like lights in this instance. But instead of it being that classic color matcher, you know, match three or more in a big grid, there are two columns, two lines of different colors. And the only way you can match them is you can match a pair by pulling them down. When four are clustered together, you can match four by dragging diagonally. Or you can just tap a single one on its own. And they all have different types of attacks, and they're all different colours and apply to different characters. Generally speaking, I find these games very tedious. This one's incredibly well presented. It's got this really nice visual, almost painterly art style, great character design, like quite okay writing for one of these games. It feels like a daft little JRPG. But the... So the colour matching mechanic is a little bit different, and it gets quite tactical quite quickly. So you really have to choose and rearrange the order in which these coloured things are appearing, going like, oh, if I just choose one, then it removes that gem, and it pushes the other two gems together, because the line is constantly moving down from left to right. So all right, then, and then I can get a match two here, which then lines up these four colours, so I can go a match four there. And it works surprisingly well. I'd suggest checking out the video for this, because it is... better than it sounds, if you know what I mean. I was surprised by actually enjoying playing this. Sodorica is the name, Sodorica Sunset, and that's free to play. On the other end of the spectrum is Light Slinger Heroes, which is kind of the match three color puzzle that you think of when you think of these things. So three quarters of the screen is just a Buster Move style, fire a gem from the bottom of the screen upwards, Bubble Witch Saga, whatever you want to call it, and then match colors. And then you've got the JRPG enemies just sitting at the top of the screen on their own, and then you have to activate spells and yada yada. So it's stuff that you've... This is the one, like, I've seen this a million times.
Mm.
So when I see this, I go, oh, yeah, and then one of those Puzzle and Dragons, whatever. And I don't think it's a particularly great version of that. It's not a bad one. It works. But I don't care for them too much. That was an ooh from you. Are you a Bubble Witch Saga fan?
Yeah, I got quite into, because I grew up playing Buster Move, because it was one of the few games I had on my original PlayStation. So yeah, I'm quite into the whole bubble shooting game, but you don't sound very enthused by it, so I don't know if I'll check it out. I might do. Well, I might get more mileage than you out of it.
Buster Move got a pass because it had Bub and Bob from Bubble Bobble in it. And I loved Bubble Bobble when I was younger and had an Amiga. It was the best.
Aww.
But
really is the nostalgia podcast, this one, isn't it?
Apparently so, yeah. But yeah, Light Slinger Heroes is the name of that one. It's available if you want to try it. That's as much of a recommendation as I'm prepared to give it. It exists. Fill your boots. And Major Mayhem 2, which is a daft, constantly sort of side-scrolling gallery shooters type thing. So you play this big chunky army dude who's legging it from left to right. He will then take cover behind a box, and then enemies pop up in the background, and you just tap on the enemies to shoot. So tap, 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 tap. Eventually you run out of ammo, so you have to stop tapping. He'll pop behind his cover, he'll reload, and then you can carry on shooting again. It is making fun of, you know, big old dumb action hero type movies and stuff. And indeed, that was what the first one was doing. But it's actually sort of all right. It's a free-to-play system. You end up with wait timers and energy systems, of course, but unlike the Harry Potter Hogwarts thing, it doesn't completely like kick you out of the game all the time and punish you unnecessarily for having a life. So that's quite good. And Harry really took to it. So it's actually fun little free-to-play mobile blasty shooter with its tongue in the right part of its cheek. So I would say maybe check that out. Silver Award for that one. Major Mayhem 2 is the name. Anything else before we pop off that you've played or have I missed?
I'm still playing Brewtown. That's it.
You're still playing Brewtown?
Surprisingly good. I was quite pleased with it.
I think I'm going to do the video review because I didn't know if it was tracking particularly highly. I've seen a lot of positivity about it. Checked out the App Store listing today. And yes, it's number one in stickers. In the stickers column of the App Store, so it's doing quite well there. But the reviews under it are very positive, and like people have really embraced it, and they love the customization thing. They love making their own beers.
Yeah, it's a great little game. Everyone should go play it.
Right, then recommendation from last week, then Brewtown, go give it a look. That'll do it then. Thank you all for joining us as always. If you feel shortchanged by the new Harry Potter game, do let us know. We've got lots of reviews and stuff and up on the site, and just drop us a comment in there and have your voice heard. And we'll listen to it and probably agree with you if you say it's a bit trash. We'll be back next week for more of the same. Do join us then. Until then, go play some good games. See you next time.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye.